know that you are good. I know that in all things you are working them out for good. And I pray, Father, that you would help us. I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would remind us one more time why we can put our trust in you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, when the world shut down, my family had had a trip planned that we were going to take for spring break, and we were super excited. We were going to go to Nashville and Austin. We had this whole mapped out plan. We were going to drive part of the way, fly part of the way. We had hotels kind of scheduled in different places, and obviously, when everything shut down, we couldn't go on this trip any longer, and so we had to start the process of, like, walking ourselves backwards out of it, which is a lot harder than it was to schedule it, shockingly. And so we got on the phone, and we were trying to talk to the hotels and the airlines, and we were trying to make cancellations, and there was, like, this weird waiting process because you had to wait for the airline to cancel before you canceled so you could get your money back. And we went through the whole process, and we came down to one airline that was our last thing to get through, to get rearranged. And when I tell you that trying to get through to them was impossible, I mean, I would call and call and call, and I'd be on hold for like an hour, and then I'd get disconnected, then I'd call again, then I'd call again. So I'd finally like just put the phone on speaker, and I would just like do other things, hoping that it would finally one time go through. 3 hours. I actually, you see my screenshot, 3 hours. I had to keep a record of it because the one time I finally didn't get hung up on, it took me 3 hours of waiting to get through to somebody. And I'm not really good at waiting, to be perfectly honest. And there's something about hold music when you're waiting and you've been listening to it for hours on end that is like nails down a chalkboard and makes me want to do some type of violence, but I have self-control, so I didn't. And we worked our way through, we got the refund, but it took in a terrible amount of waiting and working to get there. And waiting is not one of the things that many of us enjoy doing in life, right? Like, I'm terrible at like waiting in line or waiting in traffic or waiting my turn, because all I can think about is like the next thing I have to do or the next place I have to be. And all of this waiting feels like a hassle. It feels like a nuisance. It feels like it's in the way and prohibiting me from getting the things that I have to get done. And clearly my to-do list is more important than everybody else's to-do list. So there's like, I get real frustrated with the lines and not moving. And those are just like the day-to-day things that we have to wait for. It's so much harder to wait on the big things in life that our hearts truly long for. It's so much more of a challenge to really patiently wait for the things that we want most, the big milestones that we're trying to reach in life. And when things don't happen the way we want them to happen, or when things don't happen when we want them to happen, we start questioning things. We start questioning our life and our decisions and God, and we question why it's easier for everybody else than it is for us. And we question why we can't have what we want and it's no problem for somebody else. And we question, like, is this really the plan? Like, is this really how it's supposed to be? And is this all that it's ever going to be, right? And we start questioning, like, why am I here? And we wish we weren't in this spot anymore. And we wish things were different, or we wish ourselves out of the point where we are, and we wish it was over, and I don't want to go through this anymore. I wish it would change. I wish it would be different. I've done this for long enough. I don't want to do it anymore. And we start wishing that we weren't at the place that we are in our life, or wishing our lives to be different, or get to the other side of this struggle or this heart or this trouble or this problem or this pain. If we could just get past this phase and get back to life, then it feels like we start wishing these moments away. And the hard part is, as we wish and we wish and we wish, we start wishing our life away. Because what we learn with any amount of age is, this is life. And in these moments, in these troubles, in these problems, in these struggles, in these moments where it doesn't seem how it's supposed to be, that is a large chunk of our life. And if we too quickly wish ourselves out of these phases, we miss the very life that we're supposed to be living right now. The phase that we're in right now, it matters. The phase that we're working our way through, it's not filler, it's not random, it's not chance, it matters. And many times, waiting our way through these hard phases is some of the biggest tensions we face in life, because we don't want to be here, and we wish it could be different. and we end up missing the very place where we're meant to be, where we grow and develop and learn and meet God in a way that we would not meet him any other way. And what if these waiting moments, these phases that we just wish would go away and we don't want to be in, what if those are the very key places that our life needs the most to take the next step, to grow the next value, to learn the next piece that we need to become exactly the men and women we were created to be? What if in these waiting spots is exactly where we learn about God and who he is and what he wants to do and who he's called us to be? And even though it's hard, and even though we don't like it, and even though we've got lots of words to talk with God about why we don't want to be here, maybe this is the place God wants to do an incredible work in each and every one of us, where he wants to develop our hearts and our faith and our character. And rather than trying to rush the process and getting out ahead of God and trying to make God catch up to what we want to accomplish, maybe we take a step back and we start seeing it as the place and ask, what's God trying to teach me here? What's God trying to grow and develop in me in this place? Because at the core of this waiting on God, this space that we hold when we don't want to be here, it causes us to really challenge ourselves and live in the tension of, do I believe God is who he said he is? Do I really believe that God wants the best for me even when I'm working my way through this? Do I really believe that God is who he says he is and that he has a plan and that his plan is better than mine? And it challenges us to really question, do I believe this to be true about God? What do I believe to be true about God? And question the hard places where we are. And friends, many of us find ourselves in these places. And it's not the questioning that we should ever feel weary of. God's strong enough to handle our questions. God can handle our big emotions. God can handle our big questions. That actually is the very place our faith grows, is when we ask the hard things and think our way through the challenging times. It's when we stop asking questions and stop caring, that's where we find ourselves in a big problem. So to help us, we're going to look at Psalm 25 over the next coming weeks, and we're going to look at this prayer of David. I love reading David's prayers, and I love reading the Psalms, what he says, and some of the other psalmists say, because they are just so real with God. Like, they just bring their life and their heart and their challenges and everything straight to him. And we're going to study this psalm together and see how David turned to God in very troubling times in his life. So today we're going to start right at the beginning of Psalm 25 and verse 1. David said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." If you ever read about the life of David, David lived an incredible life. He was chosen at a young age to be the next king of Israel. He had a real cool family background, and he was out watching the sheep, and God sent the prophet to go get him and chose him, and nobody expected him to be more than a shepherd, which is what he was. But God chose him and found him and called him to be the next king of his people. But David didn't go from being a shepherd boy out in the field to the king. There was a huge time of waiting in between. And in this waiting time, it wasn't easy. As if he wasn't like sitting on, like, could you imagine, like, you got a promotion, but you have to wait years and years and years and years to get that promotion. Like, it would be such a struggle to go to work every day and be like, dude, like, I'm supposed to be in a different position than this. And David had to wait and wait and wait. He knew what was coming, but it wasn't time yet. And then if that part wasn't challenging enough, the current king started to have a relationship with David and decided that he hated David so much he wanted to kill him. So now David's not just waiting for his turn to be king, he's literally on the run for his life. And instead of living in like a posh palace, he's hiding out in caves and literally every day hiding and running and strategizing because an entire army is after him with a king who wants him dead. And it seemed like everywhere he turned, he had enemies out to get him. And even when he finally became king and he had enemies of Israel to fight down, and then as he got older, even his son rose up against him and tried to throw him over as being king, and then he was on the run for his life again. David's life was an incredible life, but it was never easy. It was never like smooth sailing all the way through. He had real challenging moments. And Psalm 25 gives us such a good glimpse into David's heart. When you read about David, he was a man after God's own heart. And in the good times and the bad times and the challenging times and all of them in between, David turned to God again and again and again. And even though he was constantly facing trouble, he never stopped looking to God in those moments. He never stopped trusting that God had in store for him something good and something better. And that what God had promised was greater than anything that anybody was planning against him. So when things got hard, David was able to turn to God and say, "To you I lift up my soul. To you I trust." And as he was trusting in God, here's what David learned. The first thing he learned, he tells us, he was never disappointed. He was never put to shame by putting his trust in God. He watched other people who acted in terrible ways and trust the wrong things, like they came to an end and they were put to shame by the things they trusted in. But trusting God never led David to disappointment or shame or embarrassment or humiliation. Now, I've been let down many times in my life. I don't know about you. I've made stupid decisions. I've been let down by people I thought I could count on. I've been embarrassed by things that I've done and I thought would turn out differently and they didn't, or I've just been straight up humiliated. Like, what was I thinking? That was a terrible decision. I've thought I could do more than I actually could and I've come up short. I've thought I had great ideas and they were going to be awesome and they were terrible flops. I've been let down by outcomes like I thought for sure were going to be one way and came out another way. But in my entire life, there has not been one time that I've been let down by God. There has not been one solitary instance where I've been disappointed by God. Now, I've misunderstood. I've had questions. I've had conversations with God like, "Are you sure? Because this doesn't seem like the plan. Like, this doesn't seem like the right thing to do." And I've had many times where I've tried to convince God that my way is better. I've never won those conversations. But every single time, God has come through. Every time he's shown up. Every time I've gotten to the other side of something and said, "Okay, I see. Your way was better than mine. Thank you for saving me from my own bad ideas. Thank you for rescuing me from what I thought was better and your way actually being better." God doesn't embarrass us. Our trust in God doesn't let us down. He doesn't disappoint us. And friends, I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what you're struggling through. I don't know what troubles you're up against. But I do know that we can trust God with them. C.S. Lewis gave an amazing illustration. He said, you know, it's easy to believe a rope is strong when it's sitting there kind of holding a package and you're just using it to hold a box together. It's a whole entirely different thing if you're hanging over the ledge and that rope is the difference between life and death for you. And he said, only real risk tests the reality of belief. You discover how much you trust that rope when you're clinging to it for life. And the truth is, when the risk of life pushes us to the edge, here's where we understand just how much we can trust God, just how much we can hold on to him, because he will not let us down and he will not let us fall. Even when we don't understand, even when we don't agree with how things are, or even when we have to wait and wait and wait to see how things are going to come together, we believe in a God who is working everything together for our good. And he promises he won't let us down, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he is with us in all of this. And we can put our lives in his hands and he will not let us fall. And as David learned to trust God more and more, and he learned that he would never be disappointed by God and would never be put to shame, he grew to know him better. Trusting God helped David know God better, because the same God who gave him the courage to fight lions was with him the day that he had to go toe-to-toe with a giant. The same God who showed up on the battlefield showed up again and again in his everyday life when things were challenging. The same God who promised to make him king kept his promises again and again and again. And every time David trusted in God and God showed up, David was able to take the next step, the next adventure of faith with him. David was able to trust him the next time because he had a history that he could fall back on and say, I can do this, because if God showed up in those times, why wouldn't he show up right now? And he was able to trust him and learn about him and his plans and his paths and his truth. And friends, the same is true for us today. Our faith in God doesn't grow because life is perfect. Our faith in God doesn't develop because nothing bad ever happens and things are just easy and smooth sailing. Our faith doesn't grow because there's no obstacles to face and there's no pain to overcome. In fact, everything we know about life and faith is right in the midst of it all, of all of the circumstances, the hard, the struggle, the pain, the questions, the struggle, the worry, the fear, right there. Faith grows in the midst of it all. Because even though the disappointments of life or the pains of life happen, we never stop believing in the promises of God, that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And the very troubles that we're working our way through right now, the very struggles that we are up against, might be the very place that God's going to meet us and do a good work and help us grow our faith. The places where doubt feels strong and we feel overcome by it may be where God wants to teach us something new about himself. Right where we feel crippled by fear, like we can't go any further, may be the very place where God wants to open us up just one more time to who he is and show us how strong he is. Right where we're ready to give up, where we're pressing the line, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I've done it long enough. I don't have anything left in me. Friends, this is the place God wants to meet us and carry us through. Where we feel overwhelmed, God wants to stand with us and encourage our hearts. The places where we feel like we've just got nothing left, God is saying to our hearts, trust in me, lean on me, let me encourage you. I've got more than enough for all of us. And it's right when we stand in the middle of all of this, all of the tension and the waiting and the trouble and the struggles and the fear and the pain and the worry, that we meet an incredible God who does impossible things again and again and again. He stands with us right where we are and invites us to know him and believe in him. And I know we don't like waiting. I know we don't like delay. We want things to be the way they're supposed to be, and we grow impatient. And even in the midst of all of that, the God of our salvation is always worth waiting for. Every moment we spend waiting on him is never wasted. It's never time lost, but it is time invested and well spent developing and cultivating the very life that he wants us to live. And I know this is a tension point because many of us feel like I have an idea of how my life is supposed to be, and it's good, and I like it, and it's a good idea, and it should happen that way. But then we hit obstacles, and the life we thought we were going to live, or the plans we had made, or the choices we'd mapped out for ourselves, they don't work. And then we feel ourselves wrestling with the tension of, well, God, why wouldn't that work? It's how it's supposed to be. And right here is the core of the tension. Do I believe that God has a plan that's good for my life, that is better than anything I could ever pick, choose, or do for myself? Some of the greatest work that God wants to do in us, it doesn't happen in the easy moments. It happens in the hardest times of life. Some of the greatest leaps of understanding and wisdom and knowledge that we ever make, we face when things get hard. And none of us ever wish for that. None of us ever say, okay, God, give me the hardest thing you can throw at me. Let's grow. Let's develop. Let's get smart. We're saying, like, I'm good. As am. I don't need to grow. I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. I'm kind enough. I don't need challenged anymore. But who of us loves somebody and doesn't want what's best for them? Do we ever let them settle for less than who they could be? Or do we not, with everything we have in us, call out what's best in them again and again and again? And friends, we are God's children, his sons and his daughters, and he loves us and wants what is best for us. We can trust him in the waiting. We can trust him in these in-between spaces of life, that between where we are and where we want to be and where we think we should be, that God isn't finished yet. God hasn't washed his hands of us and left us out there to dry on our own. God is with us, even in these in-between places. I love Charles Swindoll, his great advice on this. He said, waiting is difficult. You want progress, so your great temptation when the Lord doesn't appear to be doing anything is to get things going yourself. We think, okay, God, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it myself. The Lord helps those who help themselves. I am going to make this happen. And we rush out ahead of God, and we try to do things on our own and in our own way, and we're trying to look not to the wrong places, and we want to fix what's wrong and make it right, and we're not making a mess of things because we just got ahead of God and didn't trust and wait on him to see what was going to happen next. And the challenge is to stay in the waiting. The challenge isn't to skip over and miss this place. The challenge is not to rush out ahead of God and do for ourselves, but to keep trusting God even in the tension. So I'm going to give us a little bit of advice on how to wait, because I will be honest, I've done this and it's never easy. I've had huge moments with God where I've gotten on the other side of it and I see what he's done and it is better. But still, when I come up against these moments, waiting is difficult and it's hard. But it's one of those things that we can practice and we can grow in and we can encourage each other. So we're going to use Charles Swindoll's advice on how to wait. And he gives us the word wait, and he gives us an idea for each one of the letters. So he says, start with walk a little slower. I am a rush person. I like to rush. I like to go. I speak faster than I can keep up with myself. My mind is actually going faster than my mouth, if you can believe how obnoxious that is. Like, I don't want to slow down. I want to go, 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 and get the next thing done, jump to the next place. I don't like to slow down. But I also know that when we don't slow down, we're missing the very present that we're living in right now to lean into where we are. And so Charles Swindoll's advice is just walk a little slower, slow down. And as we slow down, pray. Get somewhere quiet and start talking to God and be patient with him there. And then as we walk a little slower, A is ask God for increased patience, wisdom, and self-control. Let's be honest. When I'm in a hurry and being impatient and frazzled and trying to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, I don't make my best life decisions. When life is really hard and I don't like where I am and I'm trying to make it better, most of the decisions we make are based on, I don't want to feel this way anymore. What's going to make the feeling go away? And friends, we don't make healthy life decisions from there. And so the power of slowing down and asking God for patience and wisdom right in this place is we get to think before we act. We get to consider what our next step is going to be. We get to process our decisions in a way that maybe, just maybe, we won't rush out ahead of God and ourselves, and we can calm our spirit down enough to make a better, healthier decision. If I'm going to trust in God, I got to spend some time with him. I got to slow down the hectic go pace of my heart and my mind and just let his strength and courage and love help me. I got to give his Holy Spirit time to work. We say, God, where are you? And he's like, I've been trying to get you to stand still long enough so I could help you. He's been there the whole time. We just won't slow down long enough to let him help us. We can ask God for help. We can be real honest with him about what we're struggling with and what we're worrying about. And is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Is this right? Is this wrong? We can spend time with God thinking through what's going on. We can have a conversation with God that says, I don't like this. I don't want it to be this way. And we can ask for his patience. We can ask for his wisdom. We can ask for his help. And as we spend this time with God, we get to know him better. As we spend time talking to God, he helps us know him and trust him and believe in him in a way that helps our relationship grow. And prayer is the very place, friends, that we get to take all of this to God, where we get to be with him, and he helps us be patient, and he helps us practice the self-control that we need. God promises that when we turn to him, he hears us, he answers us, and that we can call on him, because he's a God who knows us and loves us and will help us. It might not always look the way we want it to look. God's answers might not be exactly what we think they should be, but I promise if we spend this time with him, our God is bigger and greater than many of us have ever given him the chance to be. And if we just slow down and start asking God for help, we will be amazed at how good and wonderful our God really is. The week of prayer is coming up this week, and friends, you don't want to miss it. It's an incredible time and place where we just get to be with each other and pray for the church and pray for each other and pray for the community and just wait on God together, where we get to pray for the patience and the wisdom and the self-control that so many of us need, where we get to just encourage each other and cry with each other and help with each other and lean on God with one another. If you've never been to the week of prayer before, or maybe it's been a while because it's been a crazy year, can I just encourage you to come hang out with us, whether you want to pray with us or pray by yourself. It is an incredible time where we get to come together and just turn to God and wait on him together. Charles Swindoll says, I imagine the worst case scenario that might happen if you waited. I love this question because I never do this. And it's actually like, I think if I don't do this right now, the whole world is going to come to an end and I have to do this right now. That's how my mind works. And it's not true. And this is the idea, like, okay, if I waited, if I just didn't rush out and do the next thing, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst possible thing that could happen? What's the worst outcome if I did nothing in this moment? And what it does is it helps us press pause and think through things. Maybe what I think is the worst case outcome really isn't. Or maybe what I've imagined coming crashing down didn't actually happen. And when we just press pause, we get to see things from a different perspective. And then his last thing that he says is T, think of others who will be impacted by your decision. So often we're so wrapped up in what we need, what we want, what we think should happen, what we're concerned about, that we forget we are not islands unto ourselves. And our lives and our decisions and all of the things that we're going through, they have an effect on the people around us as well. And when we rush out and the decisions we make don't line up or they don't work, they affect the people that we're doing life with as well. And so it's healthy for us to say, who's going to be affected by this decision? How is my family going to be affected by this? How are the people that I work with going to be affected by what happens next? When we choose to do things for the wrong reasons, look, people are affected by us. And usually it's the people who are closest to us that are counting on us and trusting on us, that if we don't slow down, they're the ones that all of this spills out over to. And these are just things to practice and try, because waiting on God is an important part of our faith and our trust in him. It is an important part in our growth in doing life. And listen, as we face troubles, as we come up against things that seem too hard or seem wrong or seem not how they should be, we get to really learn, do I trust God when life matters because of it? Do I really trust God that his rope is strong enough and he's going to hold on to us when everything seems to be falling apart? And what David reminds us is we have a God who is worth waiting for. That every day we spend waiting on God is an incredible time with him. So can I please just encourage you, where can you spend time with God this week? Because God is listening. God is there. And God longs to be gracious to all of those who are waiting on him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray for every single heart who is listening to you today. I pray for every single soul, Father, that you would help us turn to you. I pray, Father, as David was able to turn to you with his troubles and wait on you, and you showed up in incredible ways, that you would help us to be the men and women who know you in the kind of way that we take our life to you. And I pray in the tension and the waiting and the struggle and in the in-between, you would give us the ability to cling to you, to hold on for all that we are worth, and wait through this all to see what you might do. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.